once again, TNA has done its job in making me feel good about professional wrestling. Because after NXT and Ring of Honor this week, I need a good pick-me-up.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But hello, all you BC WrestlePod nerds out there. And welcome to another exciting rendition of your Takedown Troop review, the weekly TNA wrestling review show here at BC WrestlePod. We have two of the three hosts here tonight. I am El Jefe himself, Mikey. I run the ones and twos as well as run the show. I am the man behind the curtain. I am the Wizard of Oz. I am the knight. I am Batman.
I am vengeance.
I am vengeance. Where's Rachel? And of course, joining me this week is my lovely co-host who is on the Ring of Honor and NXT review teams as well. Andrew, Mr. A to Z, thank you for not being here because I could have done the show alone, but it's not as much fun if I do it alone.
Oh, absolutely. It's fun for me too, so I'm happy I can make it.
So, I'm so happy. Unfortunately, we do not have Papa Oso himself. Will is unfortunately coming home from another gig, so hopefully he drives safe, and we will see him next week because we got a lot of things happening next week. Stay tuned for those announcements coming down the pipeline, and actually, I'll mention those at the end. A little bit of housekeeping before we begin. You can find us all over the social medias at BC WrestlePod. We are pretty much everywhere. And of course, make sure you explore our YouTube page because we pretty much review everything. And of course, if you can't commit to our beautiful faces, our voices can help you because we have audio podcast versions of everything as well. There's a lot of things around here. And of course, you know, if you want to see some of us live and in person, the East Coast Collective, plus me, are going to be at New Jersey Wrestle Show at May 18th and May 19th. Come stop by our table and say hi. We would love to have a conversation with you. All right. So I'm going to do the thing that I did not do last week because I forgot and I was like, this is crazy. But we're going to cover TNA Explosion for this week first. And then we're going to get in our mode. So let's just start with TNA Explosion. TNA Explosion this week, we didn't get our match until the very end. So we'll quickly go through everything that we had first. We started off Explosion this week with a From the Vault match. So this is Bobbert Roode, as I call him, taking on your champion at the time, Eric Young, which is really crazy to see. And then minus all the tattoos and the bald head and whatnot, Eric Young, I was like, I forgot this was the version that you had.
Yeah.
So that was the championship match. Eric Young ended up keeping his title. I forgot how good that match was too. It was fantastic. And then we jump into the Around the Ring segment. This week had Bhupinder Gujra. I was like, where have you been on my television screen? I haven't seen you in like forever. Uh-oh. So the wrestling gods apparently don't like us tonight. So I have gave them a burnt offering in the form of some things we're not going to mention about certain champions becoming champion in ROH next week. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. So let's get going while the going gets good. So as I was saying, we get the Around the Ring segment with Bhupinder Gujra, who we haven't seen on television forever, but it was nice to see him and hear from him and talk a little bit about himself, which then leads into another From the Vault match. This one was Frankie Kazarian with lots of hair taking on Jay Lethal from Genesis 2011. And it was just like, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, oh my goodness. And both of these guys are still wrestling? That's nuts. Which then leads us into the actual match we want to talk about, the R Explosion match for this week. Masha Slamovich versus Rosemary. And my goodness, Andrew, this match slapped. This match was awesome. And I'm kind of mad this was on an Explosion and not on TV.
That's like I've said, Explosion's gotten some really good matches, got some good names on it. Like we talked about before, I'm a little bummed that we're only getting one match the last few weeks of Explosion instead of the two new matches that we had been getting. But this was a big match, and I think it had some interesting signs that we'll talk about coming up in our full TNA review. But yeah, this was an awesome match to have. These two, they're always deliver.
I thought this was a fantastic match. Rosemary ended up winning due to some shenanigans in terms of like miscommunication between Masha and Killer Kelly. And then, you know, that allowed Rosemary to win, which then kind of plays into the part of what we see in our mainstay episode. Uh-huh. So before we get into that is the kayfabe reason, but we didn't talk about this last week, but we are going to talk about it here before we jump in. The Motor City Machine Guns have officially finished up with TNA. They are officially free agents in 3 days on April 1st. And then there was also reports that Killer Kelly was also wrapping up, but then it turned out that no, she is still under contract until summer of 2025, and she's just taking some time off. So I think that what happened here was probably like the NTV universe version of why we don't see Killer later in the show that we're about to talk about. So hopefully everything's good. We love Killer Kelly, and I'm kind of happy she's not leaving us anytime soon, because yeah, I would have cried. Now we just need to keep Masha there too. Please don't let Masha go anywhere else. Please. Please.
Yeah, we need them, and we need MK Ultra.
Yes, we need it. Seriously, we need to keep MK Ultra, because we barely have three teams in the Knockouts Tag Team Division. We can't afford to be losing anybody at this time. Alrighty. So now that we are finished with Explosion for this week, let's jump into our mainstay episode, which opened up with more Knockouts action. And this was the second ever 8-4-1 match. For those of you who are unaware, an 8-4-1 match is as follows. We start with two teams of four, so we have eight people total. So this is an eight-person tag team match. And it's your basic tag team match, except with eight people. And you keep going until somebody gets a pinfall for their team. So the winning team then moves on to a four-way match, as TNA likes to call it, because another company owns the trademark of Fatal Four-Way. Where the winner of said match is declared the winner. And in this case, the stakes is to become number one contender to Jordan Grace's TNA Knockouts Championship. And we'll get a championship match at Rebellion. So before even any wrestling begins, we start off with the team. So I have written down in terms of just teams. So we have Team Masha Slamovich, which is Masha. This is Masha. This is... there's a whole bunch of people in this match. It's
Havoc. Only shenanigans.
Yeah, Havoc, Masha, Jody Threat, and what was supposed to be Ash by Elegance. We'll get to her in a little bit.
No, it was Alicia was on that team.
Oh, that's right. Alicia, never mind. There's so many people in this match. That was Team Masha. And on the other side, we had Team, what I dubbed Team Zaya Brookside, because it was Zaya Brookside, Danny Luna, Rosemary, and we were supposed to have Ash by Elegance, but before the match began, we had Ash's Chevalier come out, and then this was so perfect. She says, Ash is not clear tonight, and then she she walks out, and we see why she has, like, the headband on, the ice pack. She had some cosmetic work done. I was like, does she have a toothache? What's happening? I was like, what in the Tom and Jerry is this?
Yeah.
But because of the cosmetic procedures, Ash doesn't feel like participating in this match, and she wants to protect, you know, her moneymaker, the face. So somebody else is going to be replacing her in this match, and that person returning, and I audibly screamed like a little girl because it was Steph DeLander, and I lost my mind. She is back in TNA, the former Persia Parada of NXT, still up that they released her, which made no freaking sense to me. But I'm happy to see that she has done very well for herself in the indies and is also known as Mrs. Hardcore Deathmatch Queen herself, too, with her indie darling king, Matt Cardona, who we'll talk about towards the tail end of this match, because, you know, surprise, surprise, not bearing the lead, but he's also back in TNA, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So now we have the team set. So we have our four on four. What I really loved about this is that more than anything outside of the wrestling, we continued the storyline of what's going down in the Knockouts tag team division, because Jody and Masha were still fighting each other and we're trying to one up each other. Meanwhile, Alicia and Havoc were just like, yeah, no, we got to win this. It's like, put aside your differences. Let's do this. So let's talk about this 8-person part before we get into the Fatal 4-Way. So, you know, everyone kind of got their stuff in, but as always, Danny Luna kind of stole the show. But more importantly, I also love that with the ice pack, Ash was also just like looking through everything. I thought this tag team portion was, it was all right. Like, I was like, there's 8 people. Everybody's putting in their spots. I was like, this is great. I love Steph is just antagonizing everyone. I was like, yes, this is what I want to see from her.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's hard. You've got 8 people. It's also only the first portion of a match, so there's only so much that they can do. You know, Danny Luna was in there against, you know, Masha for a little while. And it was fun to see how the tag teams interacted. Like at one point, Steph DeLander tagged in Havoc when Rosemary was already in there, and then Rosemary and Havoc just looked at each other and they're like, no. And so they, you know, the teams worked together even though they were on opposing sides. But it was good. It had some good spots in it and it was fun. But yeah, it was there's just a lot of people to get too much done in the time that they had.
Yeah, which they did a good job. So ultimately, Team Masha ends up losing. So the winning team ends up being Team Zaya. So then we move into the 4-way portion, which is Steph DeLander versus Zaya Brookside versus Rosemary. This, just those 3 names alone, I was like, oh, yes, give me. Uh-huh. Versus Danny Luna. So, I mean, this Fatal 4-way was a lot of fun. But, you know, Danny Luna didn't get to get much offense when we got to the 4-way because Masha Slamovich was still around and she literally threw Danny out and started beating up on everyone outside. And that kind of incapacitated Danny for the rest of the match. So really it became a triple threat. Then it got down to just a regular one-on-one match because Zaya gets thrown out. She ends up hurting Ash by accident. And Ash is losing her mind, so Zaya's dealing with that, which ultimately just becomes a singles match between Steph and Rosemary. This was a good back and forth for a couple of minutes, but as the ref is dealing with all the nonsense outside, who should come in and hit the radio silence but a returning Matthew Cardona? That radio silence / Rough Rider is one of those moves I love to watch all the time, which allows Steph to, you know, hit her finisher to pick up the win. And the number one contender for Jordynne Grace's title at Rebellion is SDL. So, Andrew, how did you feel about the second half of the match? And then how do you feel about Steph being the number one contender to Jordynne's title?
I thought that even though it was a shorter portion of it, the 4-way did a good job of, like, you know, just like the first part kind of kept some of the other stories going. It was nice. I think Masha's attack was a smart way to take Danny out of the match, because obviously, at like Rebellion, likely we're going to have Spitfire defend their titles. So just take them out of this whole race for the Knockouts title, world title. And then obviously Zaya is going to be feuding with Ash. So taking her out of the match by also increasing that feud, you know, kind of replicating when Zaya threw Tasha into an onlooking Ash previously. I thought that was a really smart way to handle all that kind of stuff. And a lot of what they did in all parts of this match were really good ways to also reintroduce Steph. And it was great to have her in there, you know, get to see her against some of the big powerhouses and see how base she is too. And this was super smart, like, of all the people that they could choose from and bring in. You know, I hope she's going to be around for a little while. I think she's a great challenge to Grace. If she's the kind of person that like, don't want to see Jordan lose, but if she's going to lose to somebody, especially because she's got Matt there with her, you know, there could be some shenanigans and things like that. But she's a great person to be able to pick that up. It'd be awesome for her to hold that Knockouts title. And yeah, this is a huge thing. This is a really good choice by TNA and awesome for Steph and Matt. So
absolutely. And here's hoping that if Steph and Matt are sticking around for a little bit past Rebellion, I would also love to see them do some mixed tag shenanigans with Jordan and her actual husband, Jonathan Gresham, who is also in TNA too. It would be fantastic. But really quickly before we move on, I just want to say how proud I am of Steph from being released from NXT and then still being able to do very well in the independents and then TNA. And just, she's just awesome. And I'm so happy to see her be back here in TNA. And it gives Jordan a new opponent that we really haven't seen her have an interaction with quite yet, especially in a championship match capacity. So I think this is going to be fantastic. So moving on from here, we get a backstage segment. So this was the kind of a repeat of the digital exclusive on the social medias. We saw the breakup of Macklin and the Rascals because they were not happy with the way that Macklin kind of just up and abandoned them, which, to be honest, I wish they stuck around together a little bit more because I was kind of like liking this faction. But you know what? The Rascals are going to go on their own. Macklin's back being a single star, has a run in with Chris Sabin, which, you know, Sabin goes to Santino to make a match for later in this episode. So it's like Smacklin versus Sabin. I was like, all right, I'm here for it. It's going to be I think it's going to be a great match. And then we learned that it is our main event tonight. I was like, bomb, let's go. There's not too much to say because me and you saw the clip last week on social media. So they just replayed it for the audience on television, which then leads into the Time Machine Boys all backstage. Okay, so I thought this was a really weird backstage segment because, you know, Sabin was talking about how he's happy to see Shelly and Kushida were on the same page last week. And then Shelly kind of goes weirdo, like paranoid for some reason. And then this is like, are they falling apart again? And then Kushida and Sabin's facial expressions at the end of the segment was me the entire time. I'm like, what happened? How did we get here? What? All right, sure, because Shelly wants to go find Santino to get a singles match, too. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, this just had me even less interested in the Time Machine split up tension thing. Sabin and Shelly in both of these promos just felt like angsty, passive-aggressive teen boys, and they're both in their 40s. Like, you know, I give Chase Yu's promos some, you know, a hard time in NXT saying they seem like Saved by the Bell, but that's because you have 20-year-olds pretending like they're teenagers. This is like, I don't even know what this is. This is 40-year-olds twice the age acting like teenagers. And it came off across awkward and just like, I just didn't care anymore. I was like, all right, whatever. Dude, if you guys aren't going to get along, don't get along.
Seriously, man. And then, you know, we're teasing this split between Time Machine. And then we go into another backstage segment after commercial about another team looking to maybe be splitting for no reason. We're backstage with ABC. You know, Chris Bay and Ace Austin are recapping everything that went down in the referendum match that happened last week, where Chris Bay was vying to be a number one contender for the X Division Championship. But then Ace Austin is like going down a weird, like, woe is me type of stuff. It's like, well, you know, you're going for singles. Maybe I should. And Chris Bay, I love that Chris Bay's whole thing. He was trying to be supportive. He's like, bro, what are you talking about? I was like, I'm going to support you, whether it's tag team business or singles business. But, you know, if you want to be that way. And then Frankie Kazarian got brought up in here. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to go get a match with Frankie. I was just like, are we sure we want to do that? All right, sure, fine, whatever. I was like, where is this tension coming from, you guys? Like, why are we planning a split? Like, we just talked about how there's a good viable tag teams in the men's division. And then TNA, you want to start splitting tag teams up? No, that is not what we're doing. We are not going to have the same problem we have in the Knockouts tag team division for the men. You cannot be splitting up the men's tag teams. So that way we only have like three or four left. It's not how this works.
Yeah, because we just finally got more than the two that we had previously. I don't understand why we're building all this tension. It's ABC, Time Machine, Time Splitters, whatever, or, you know, variation you want to call that, MK Ultra. Like, why are we making this tension between our tag teams? That being said, I think it would be cool for ABC to go on some singles runs but not split up, because they have been in the title picture so long. Could you imagine Chris Bay as the X Division champion and Ace Austin as, like, the digital media champion still as ABC? Like, because they're still technically supposed to be a subgroup of the Bullet Club. So it still makes sense. They're still a group, even if they're not holding the tag team titles. So, yeah, I would love to see that, but I don't understand this whole team
tension.
Yeah.
Yeah, and me and you talk about this a lot on other, you know, reviews too. I don't like the trope in professional wrestling where in order for tag teams to go have singles runs, we need to split them up and there has to be some sort of drama behind it. I was like, there have been various examples, both past and present, where you can have tag teams split amicably or, you know, take a break from each other, but still be a tag team and be supportive. We don't need one of them turning heel and backstabbing the other. Like, it's 2024. I want to move on from that trope.
Yeah.
But thankfully, it doesn't seem like we're heading that route quite yet, but I'm looking at you, TNA. Don't do it. Don't do it. Stay away from the big shiny button.
Yeah.
Like, for reals. So we go from two backstage promos to another in-ring promo. And I'm looking at my timer. I'm like, this is the first fourth of the show. And most of it has been promos and backstage segments. So we're in the ring with Jesse and James Pokemon cosplayers, GYV. If you've seen the video, you know what we're talking about. GYV is so fantastic. I love them. But they're in the ring and they have a problem with Diener. So this is another like feud that I'm just scratching my head at. I was like, how did we get here? Like, I know what we saw, but what is the motivation? So GYV wants to kick Diener's butt, which then prompts Diener to come out to new music. And then he comes out in his old gear. And I was just like, I'm looking at this gear. I'm like, this is what he was wearing when he was teaming with, oh my gosh, are we going to throw Jake into the storyline somehow? Because Diener came out dressed up like in his ring gear that he used to wear when he was teaming with Jake something when they were these weird country cousins. I'm like, oh Lord, here we go. Again, I want to preface by saying this. Love GYV. I like Diener. I like Diener a lot. However, this whole storyline and his new character direction, I need a little bit more, because it's like, I'm here for the fans. I was like, nobody asked you to do this. I need character motivations to make sense, Andrew. Andrew, help me out. Like, what's happening here? Like, I don't get it.
No, my only note from this, and this is even going in to the match that we had, like leading from this, is I'm not sure where we're going with Diener. Because this was basically the same result as we had last week. The difference was last week, it was Diener was out there, GYV came out. This week, GYV was out there, Diener came out. But at the end of it, it was all said and done, the same result happened. So what was the point of that? Like, what's going to be, what is this the catalyst for? Like, is someone going to come out and help Diener? Because he's facing a tag team, so we're building to a new team with him. Who's that going to be? It could be exciting. But at this point, it just feels like it feels unclear and unfocused. But it also, like, there's no motivation for Diener to do any of this stuff. And there's no real desire for this, especially if you take him away from, like, GYV, who are really good, you know, heels. So I don't know what they're going to do with this. I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really need to talk about the match, because you pretty much said it all. This promo led into a 2-on-1 match where they did the typical structure that a 2-on-1 match happens, where the team of two gets the advantage. We get the underdog single wrestler, but then the numbers game catches up to them, and GYV ends up picking up the victory here. I just need some direction, TNA. That's all I'm asking for. Just give me a little bit. And, you know, because I'm behind all three of these men in the ring, but I just need a little bit of direction in terms of storytelling and character development. Unlike our next backstage segment, So after this match, we are with Gia, and she is interviewing Nick Nemeth. I like this first half because Gia asks Nick Nemeth, you know, last week you encountered Moose, and he said that you cannot beat the system, referring to your time in WWE, which Nick Nemeth is not afraid to say it. Thank you, other wrestling companies, for not having to tiptoe around it. You could talk about the big corporate machine with other wrestlers coming from there. It's okay. And he's like, you know what? But I'm going to go to Rebellion. I'm here for Moose. As he's doing this interview, we have, you know, I don't know if Alex Shelley was listening to the new Beyonce album because it dropped early, but he's coming out in his cowboy outfit with the fringe and everything, which, by the way, is a choice. But I'm not going to fault him for that. Alex Shelley comes out and, you know, he talks to Nick Nemeth and is just like, so, you know, you got this title match, but you know what? Maybe I want a title match. I want to fight the best of the best. So how about me and you have a match next week? And Nick's like, sure. Okay. I was like, this is going to be great. And he's like, this is going to be good practice for me. And Shelley gets defensive. He's like, hold up. You think it's going to be easy? It's not going to be easy. And Nick's like, good. I welcome the challenge. And I'm just sitting here. I'm like, see, I would be more excited about this match had Alex Shelley not been a whiny little bee about it the whole entire time. He was so passive aggressive, Andrew.
Well, and it was weird because when it started, Nick Nemeth was like, I'm going to face Moose. You know, basically, I'm going to be a defending champion after I beat Moose, you and me. Basically implying, like, if I win the title, you get a title shot. You'll be the next one to get a title shot. And Alex Shelley was like, why wait? Let's just do it next week. And I get it for the whole contract thing. But story-wise, why would a professional competitor turn down a potential championship opportunity for an immediate match that's not going to get you anything else? Like, it just made no sense. It was like, well, you can either wait and see if you can fight for the title or just fight me next week. And it was so dumb. This made me laugh because they brought it up again later, talking about the Nemeth versus Shelley match. How it's going to be a generational clash because new school, you know, new generation versus old generation, all this stuff. Alex Shelley is 3 years younger than Nick Nemeth, and he started wrestling 2 years before Nick Nemeth. So they're the same generation. I don't know what you're talking about, but it's so ridiculous. Like, dude, guys, they're the same age. They're the same generation of wrestlers just because they were in two different companies. Like, I was like, this is not young versus old. This is just same versus same. Like, don't get me wrong. The match is going to be awesome. But yeah, it was super silly.
Had you worded like the TNA OG versus the new faces of TNA, I would be like, Bob, okay. Like, I get it. Because Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin and everybody else have been holding down TNA for the last 20 years. Nick Nemeth is new in TNA, so he's just beginning his career in this company. So you could have worded it like that, but not generation versus generation, because they're the same class.
Yeah. They just went to different schools.
Yes. It's, you know, and it's not fair. I was like, I like Tom and Matthew Ringwald, but I was like, it's okay. Not everyone can be Caprice and Ian. Like, listen, they are the bar when it comes to commentary teams. Like, that is, you gotta, like, come on now. So, we go from backstage, we go to another in-ring pro, which at least leads to a good match. So, Josh Alexander is still out there with taped ear, no headgear. He talks about how he has an open contract from Santino. I'm like, I don't know how that's how wrestling matches work, but that's okay. But he's like, I want to fight you. And he calls out Hammerstone. You know, but are you too chicken? Like, we know we're probably getting this rematch at Rebellion. We're getting the rubber match at Rebellion.
Yeah.
So obviously Hammerstone doesn't answer. But who should answer? Because they are in Philadelphia. But a Philadelphia legend, and also for those of us that watch Ring of Honor, a staple of the company, out comes Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. And I was like, oh, this is about to get good. So Hot Sauce is in the ring. He cuts the promo talking about, you know, him and Josh are cut from the same cloth, but he wants to test his mettle against Josh to see if Josh truly has what it takes to be the face of TNA. And we get a match between Hot Sauce Tracy Williams and Josh Alexander. Ooh, chat. I'm going to be honest. This was personally my match of the night. I thought Josh killed it. I love me some hot sauce Tracy Williams, like Ring of Honor legend, like holding it down from, you know, Philadelphia as his home turf. This match was so good, Andrew. Like, I was like, I love me when I can get pay-per-view quality matches free on my television. Like, it was that good.
Absolutely. You know, Williams kept up with Alexander like the whole time. It was great. They were, those two were just like killing it. Even though I knew Alexander was going to win, it was another one of those cases where it was a really fun showing for both performers. And it just made them both look strong, even in their struggles. That DDT on the top turnbuckle was brutal. I would love to see more of Tracy Williams in TNA. I don't know if we'll get to or not, but I'd love getting to see these folks pop up here. But yeah, it was a really good match. It was probably tied for top with the next couple of matches that we got.
Yeah, thankfully the second half of the show picked it up, because I was like, we almost had a repeat of what we call over in Dynamite Land Promo Fest 2024. Mm-hmm. I was like, we almost got to Promo Fest, but it ended up happening. This was a fantastic match. This was my match of the night. And then afterwards, both men show adoration for each other, but who comes and spoils the party? But weirdly, Hammerstone, who is in wrestling gear all of a sudden, I was like, what? Huh? I was like, okay, like, you were prepared to fight, that's fine. And then he attacks, you know, Josh, and Josh gets thrown out of the ring, and then Hammerstone singles out Hot Sauce. You know, the prop of Josh's headgear did not help the situation, because Hammerstone was struggling to keep that thing on. And so he just decides to put Hot Sauce in the torture rack. And then he tries to do the bicep thing, but it didn't work out. But the point was still made. Hammerstone is going to be a menace and is going to be a thorn in Josh's side until we get an official confirmation that we're getting a rubber match at Rebellion. Yeah, here's hoping it's like a crazy match type. Please let it be a crazy match.
Should be just last man standing.
Exactly. Or Iron Man. Do something fun. Because Rebellion's the place to do it. Literally, we're getting a Full Metal Mayhem match. Like,
or an I Quit match or something.
Ooh, I Quit. Or, you know, Josh's headgear on a pole match. Okay. I'm just kidding. Again, I'm staring at this. I was like, Hammerstone, are you and Bronze Breakker going to the same tanning booth? Because, like, you are still too dark, my dude.
I mean, I don't know. What is Bronze, I think, still has him beat. I did notice when Hammerstone had Trace Williams up in the torture rack. I don't know if he was holding his breath or what, but his face was, like, turning purple.
I was like, yo, bro, breathe, Hammerstone, breathe. I was like, did you pull something? Like, what happened? Yeah. But it's okay. Yeah, the visual was a little wonky at times, but I'm still excited for what's happening and developing between Hammerstone and Josh. I think this is a really fun feud. And, you know, it's doing its job. If Hammerstone's going to continue to just hurt people that Josh likes and respects, then all for it. Which sounds really weird if it's not in the world of professional wrestling. Yeah. We don't condone violence normally, but in the world of professional wrestling, the more violent, the better. For me, at least. So from here, we get, you know, Santino and Mustafa Ali. So I want to take this time to give kudos to Mustafa Ali for making the front cover of PWI with the X Division Championship. And we learned from social media and from TNA, too, that Mustafa Ali is only the second TNA champion to grace the cover of the history of PWI, the first being Samoa Joe. It's also nuts to think about. And I'm like, listen, I love this renaissance that Mustafa Ali is in. I'm finally glad that the wrestling world is giving him the credit and the respect he should have earned, you know, being in the big machine that was WWE. And I'm so happy that now people are finally on board. I was like, yeah, this dude has always been great. I've always been a supporter, and we've seen it. It's just he wasn't being utilized properly.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for him. I love Mustafa Ali. And I love this backstage segment, too, because him and Santino are talking about it. And, you know, Mustafa's doing his best to try to get Santino to remove Jake from this title match at Rebellion. And Santino reiterates that the X Division isn't about is no limits. So no weight class limits, no other limits you can, like height, weight, sex. Like, it doesn't matter. And there's no way that Mustafa Ali is going to get out of a match with Jake, which leads into a conversation about other people who have, you know, fought for this X Division and also no limits. And Rhino's name gets brought up, which then proceeds Mustafa Ali to say that Rhino's a stupid name. And then just like a cartoon, it's just like, he's right behind me, isn't he?
Mr. Rhinoceros.
And he's just the Mr. Rhinoceros. Ali's great. And so basically this sets up that Rhino will be fighting Ali next week in an old school rules match, whatever that means. And I'm just like, I gotta look this up later. I'm like, hold on, let me Google this real quick.
Yeah, I was wondering what that meant. And they bring it up later. But it was funny the way Santino set that up. He was just like, let me check. Okay, it's happening. Like,
I dream a genie. I got you.
Yeah. He's so good. Definitely one of the best parts of TNA.
I'm telling you, TNA needs to get on selling those deputy badges.
Yeah.
Serious. I would definitely buy us some and we would wear it on this review. Be like, we are the authority. But we get an Ali versus Rhino next week in an old school rules match. So I'm super excited with that. So then we enter into just straight up the next match, which I also really enjoyed. One half of Speedball Mountain, Speedball Mike Bailey taking on one half of the system and Eddie Edwards. When I tell you, if this is just a small preview of what we're getting at Rebellion, I am so ready for this. This match was so close to also being my match of the night. Yeah. So I'm like, Mike Bailey is so good. Edwards has had this renaissance, you know, since leaving Honor No More earlier in 2023. And when that faction broke up and everyone went back to Honor AEW, and then he was like in limbo with that long feud with Frankie, which we will never live down. And like Maxine Waters, we will never get our time back. But man, this match, Andrew, was so good. I was like, I have no words. I was glued to I don't even have a lot of notes for this because I was glued to this match the whole entire time, all the way through.
Yeah, it was.
This match was great.
Yeah, it was a hard-hitting, action-packed match. Like you said, it gives me so high hopes for the tag team title match because we also know what Trent Seven can do. You know, Brian Myers. So I think those two tag teams against each other are going to be crazy. Bailey's like backflip knees to downed opponents is just so mean. Like the way he hits that, it's rough. But yeah, like all of the things that they were thrown at each other were incredible. I've said it before, like Mike Bailey just doesn't have bad matches. He's phenomenal. Like he's a guy that just he's such a good worker and delivers so much every time he's out there. I think even as respected as he is, he's undervalued because he is so good. And I wasn't even mad about the outcome of this match because it was heels doing heel things and that's what they should be doing. So, you know, I'm there for it. It was great. It was awesome.
Yeah, I agree with you with that, because normally I don't like number one contenders losing to champions while we're building a feud to it. But the numbers game is there because Alicia is out running interference for the boys. And, you know, Brian Myers is also out there as well. So 3-on-2, which makes a lot of sense for a heel faction.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't done in a way where I was like, really, this is how we're ending the match?
Yeah,
whatever. Because the distraction happened, but Bailey was still able to get a little bit in before his move missed, and Edwards was able to hit the Boston Knee Party for the win. That Boston Knee Party always looks vicious, but this one, Bailey sold this one. I was like, oh, he did.
Yeah. Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, but this is such a phenomenal match. And like you said, we know what Trent and Myers can do. So if that's what's up next in the next week or two, I'm here for Trent versus Myers. I'm just ready for this. This tag team match has me super excited for Rebellion. Like, honestly, I'm anticipating this to probably be at the top of my favorite matches of the evening.
Absolutely.
This is fantastic. So next we go to a pre-tape segment with our favorite French Canadian monster himself, PCO. This was a quick short one. He just yells Khan's name and he utters the most powerful words in TNA history. And he says the words that I've been waiting for the longest time, Monsters Ball match versus Khan. And I'm like, the wrestling gods have answered my prayers. I love me a good Monsters Ball match in general, but like, as we have talked about on multiple occasions, having PCO in a Monsters Ball match just hits a different level. Like, the Bound for Glory Monsters Ball match we had, that man was nuts over there, getting thrown on cinder blocks and thumbtacks and chairs. I'm ready for this. And honestly, I'm kind of excited to see what Khan brings too. It's like, yeah, when he slammed PCO on those stack of chairs like a couple weeks ago, I was like,
yeah,
oh, these two are going to kill each other and I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to see the two of them go at it because I think it'll give them the right amount of length to be able to do some crazy stuff. I wouldn't have hated seeing this be a triple threat with Crazy Steve thrown in there and make it for that digital media title. But this match, just the two of them in a Monsters Ball match is still crazy. And I can't wait to see it. It's going to be awesome.
Well, who knows? There is still some time until Rebellion. So, because technically PCO never lost that match against Steve,
mm-hmm,
had Khan not interfered. So maybe we get a rematch and then Khan decides he wants in on the action. So I would be here for our two monsters and then a literal monster in Khan, just how big he is.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tease me with a good time. Like, that is just a recipe for amazingness. It's so fantastic. Okay, so we go from like this good, like some fun moments here and there. And okay, this was a confusing promo next. So next up, we have Frankie Kazarian. So I want to start off by saying, I love Frankie Kazarian. I really do. But before Chris Bay got onto the promo for this whole entire thing, there were two things I was waiting for Frankie to say during this because of the way that he was delivering the promo and the contents of it. A, I was waiting for him to be Elvis Presley possess his body because I was waiting for I was like, Frankie, what are we doing? And then the second thing I was waiting to hear because of the way that he was talking is like, can the church say amen? I was like, what in the... like Baptist church preacher is this, Frankie? Like, what?
This is one of the few times in TNA that I feel this way, and we've gotten this with a couple other shows that we review. It just feels like they're like, we have to do something until Eric Young and Frankie Kazarian fight each other, so let's just throw random people at Frankie. Yeah, I don't know what we're doing with either of those people. I feel like Frankie needs something more because honestly, the only thing I could look at was a scarf and just think about how midlife crisis this version of Frankie Kazarian feels. Like, I'm going to dye my hair again. I'm, you know, this new haircut, balding. I'm going to wear these like hip new clothes the kids are wearing. And you just look at them and you're like, none of that fits you. Like, it doesn't make you look cool. It just makes you look out of place. And it's so weird. Like, he's going to get a sports car, you know, start hanging out with like way too young women. And it's just so awkward.
Yeah. And okay. So the best way I could describe this iteration of Frankie Kazarian from this promo alone, it reminded me of the meme of Steve Buscemi is like, hi kids, you want to go do skateboards? I was like, what? If, yeah. What? Like, hi, I am fellow kid too. I was like, oh yeah. Gosh, Frankie. And you know what? Thank goodness that Chris Bay comes on the scene and kind of saves this a little bit. And I actually like that we're getting a match between Frankie and Chris because there is a little bit of history since, you know, Chris and Ace are aligned with Eric Young in some capacity.
Yeah.
And so Frankie's been messing with Eric, and he's also been messing with ABC as well. So, cool. So we're getting Chris Bay and Frankie Kazarian, so I'm actually kind of excited for that match. But yeah, the first half of this promo was the choice.
Yeah.
I was like, no, it was not a good choice. Which then, we get into another in-ring segment. This one I actually did not mind. So it is reported, according to TNA and what we found out earlier, well, for me, that I found out yesterday, that AJ Francis has signed for the rest of 2024 with TNA. So he's going to be sticking around in TNA for the rest of the year, which I'm not opposed to. If it gets me more interactions between him and Joe Hendry, I'm going to be okay with that. But we get the in-ring promo slash debut of this new little faction. AJ Francis and Rich Swann talk about why Rich Swann talks about why he did what he did. AJ talks about, you know, it makes sense for Rich Swann to be here. And we officially get the name of this little faction. They are known as First Class, which I'm like, okay, cool. I was like, obviously we can't do anything with Street or Profits in it because that would infringe on another tag team name. I like AJ Francis and Rich Swann as a tag team. I am just hoping that we utilize them properly. So obviously there's still some unfinished business with Joe Hendry. So I'm thinking that we're not quite done. And, you know, I'm just putting it out there, TNA, if you want to listen, we have a tag team match at Rebellion with, you know, First Class versus Joe Hendry and a partner of his choice. Who should come for a one night reunion only, please? Give me a reunion of Joya and I will forever be grateful. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah.
I heard that. You're like, God. I felt that in my spirit when you said it, Andrew.
Yeah. That would make me so happy. I'm not going to lie. Rich Swann made me think of Flava Flav when I saw him out there with AJ Francis.
Same. I was just missing the big old clock.
Yeah. I was just like, dude, what? Like, it was so weird. Like, I think it's partially because AJ Francis is wearing his style. And then they were like, Rich Swann, here, we're going to put you in a costume to look like you hang out with AJ Francis. And it's like, dude, let him be Rich Swann style and just have him go out there with AJ Francis. And you're talking about a dude who came out in Flash Funk gear and stuff. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, and that can still fit with this whole First Class thing. Just dress it up a little. I felt like the promo was a little too long. Like, it could have been shorter and more to the point, because when Rich Swann was going on, it was just like, it was like listening to a kid give a book report. And I was like, no, you could have hit the points a little quicker here. It all made sense, but there was used too many words. But other than that, you know, that's cool that they got this little faction. I'm interested to see if anyone else is going to join them. You know, if they're keep feuding with Joe Hendry for now, I'm fine with that, because that just means there's more Joe Hendry. So
please give me a Joya reunion. That's what I want to see. But I agree with you. I feel that this promo went on a little too long, but I am optimistic. I like AJ. I love Rich Swann. So hopefully they can create some beautiful magic. It'll be fantastic. And now we have another team in the men's tag team division. So I'm also not going to complain about that. TNA, I need you to start signing some more women, because I want that division. I want both divisions to be filled out with challengers.
Yes.
But then we get into another Tom Hanifan exclusive, like, personal interview. I love that TNA does this. I think Tom does a good job of, like, getting us to look behind the characters of a lot of these people. That's what made me love Crazy Steve anymore. We got that 3-part interview special, and we learned of how much Crazy Steve went through. And we did the same thing, except now we got to learn a lot about Laredo Kid, of all people.
Yeah.
I thought this was a fantastic interview. I was like, you know, I know we crap on you, Laredo Kid, half the time sometimes, because you just seem randomly thrown into these matches for no reason. And then by the end of this, I was just like, TNA, I need you to book him properly now. Yeah. Because now that I know his whole story and, you know, everything that he's gone through, and then just how much he loves professional wrestling, especially, you know, my people of him being a brown person in wrestling in America as well, trying to make it in the business, even though he, you know, wrestled in AAA and things like that. I'm just like, book this man proper, because now I want to see him achieve great things here in TNA. I thought this was a fantastic interview. I love this.
This was probably my favorite promo of the night, just because it made me a bigger fan of the person than I was before this started. The same thing, you know, the way that Laredo Kid's been booked, not just in TNA, but in a lot of other American promotions he's shown up in. he's been the luchador that goes out and loses. Like, you know, it's just one of those things. He's always been really good and solid as a performer. But hearing about that match against Vikingo and having the punctured intestines and just like that kind of stuff, I was like, dang, dude, that is hardcore. And, you know, to see the struggles that he went through. And then I love that they didn't just get rid of the Laredo Kid versus Crazy Steve thing, that they brought that up. Especially because initially that seemed like a weird match to have. And then, especially because they announced it and then they're like, oh, well, we have to change it because Laredo Kid's visa issues or whatever it was. So we put Joe Hendry in there, and it was like, I don't even remember hearing about the buildup to that match. So why'd you even tell us it was going to happen? But the fact that they did, and then they brought it back up during this interview, like watching that, I was like, dude, now I want to see Laredo Kid versus Crazy Steve, like make that match. So if we're not going to get him with PCO and Khan, let's see Laredo Kid versus Crazy Steve at Rebellion, the digital media title. Like, I want to see.
I want to see Laredo Kid actually have that match now with Crazy Steve, because we didn't get it at Sacrifice. So now I want to see it, because I was like, oh, okay, well, no, it's not a big deal. Learned about his whole life story. Okay, now I want to see this match. Give it to me now.
Yeah.
I want good things for Laredo Kid now.
Yeah.
I got to give credit to TNA, because they do such a good job of being able to balance out like the character work that we see from everyone. But then we also get, I love being able to learn about the actual people behind said characters. Like during Explosion, during the Around the Ring segment, it's one of my favorite things, even though, you know, most people don't like talking segments. I like this week because we got to learn a little bit about Bhupinder Gujra, and then, you know, getting to hear from other people as well. I love being able to see behind the characters, and this made me a bigger fan of Laredo Kid. So now I want to see good things happen for Laredo, and I want him to be booked really, really good in TNA now. So we get the bumpers kind of telling us what is going down next week. So we got a couple matches, and I'm excited for all of that. We're getting Nick Nemeth versus Alex Shelley, which is probably going to main event next week. Mm-hmm. Again, weird way of how we got to this point, but I'm still excited about the match itself. I think it's going to be fantastic. And spoiler alert, I'm pretty sure Nick is winning this one, as Alex Shelley is going to put Nick Nemeth over as the Philadelphia tapings, which we're about to see the second half of those next week, is the last tapings that the Motor City Machine Guns did. And speaking of Motor City Machine Guns, let's get into our main event, Steve Maclin versus Chris Sabin. This is Chris Sabin's last official match in TNA. I thought this was a really fun match. Again, I think Chris Sabin is fantastic. He is such a good wrestler. But what I loved about it anymore is that Chris Sabin allowed pockets of this match to showcase Maclin. I also really, really like. I thought this was a good back and forth match, but Maclin came out with the victory here and beat one half of the Motor City Machine Gun, so, which is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah. Well, and I liked that they talked about how these two had previously competed against each other and Sabin had picked up the victory. And so this was, they gave some context for it. It was a much slower and more methodical match than I expected, but in a good way. It wasn't boring. They kept it going. They both looked really good in it. You know, Chris Sabin being the smaller guy focused on Macklin's arm. Maclin even learned from some of his more recent mistakes, missing certain moves and like not fully overcommitting to them. I did not expect Maclin to win, especially knowing that we're wrapping up on Sabin and Shelley. I thought maybe he'd pick up a victory in this match. But because he didn't, I like how they built this up to push Maclin forward, like what they should do. And I love, you know, TNA is really good about this, especially their knockouts division has been really good about this. A champion who's departing and, you know, dropping the title to that next person that's going to carry the division puts that person over. And TNA is really good about that for the most part. It has me wondering if this match and Shelley versus Nemeth are going to be the last things that we see from the two of these. I would have really liked to have seen their last match, if it's going to be their last match in TNA, to see a match between Shelley and Sabin. So it would have been a nice culmination of everything. But if the last matches, we get this match and then the Shelley versus Nemeth match, I mean, those are some ways to go out. So, yeah, it was great. I really enjoyed it. This and the other two previous matches were all tied. I gave them the same score. They were all my top matches of the night. And realistically, the 8-4-1 match was just slightly behind those, just because it was a lot of fun, too. So these matches were solid, really high quality, what I expect from TNA.
I totally agree with you. With then leads into, you know, the final thing we do here. Let's give our ratings. So I said at the beginning of this that this felt a lot almost close to Promo Fest because there's a lot of backstage segments and promos that we got. Some of them were great. Some of them were a little bit weird. But one thing that I always give TNA is that their match quality is never, even if I have small critiques, it's probably the best thing outside of Ring of Honor on a normal basis that I get to watch every single week. And the fact that they're both on a single Thursday, and I got to find a way to watch both of them to make both of these reviews is tough for sure, but it always ends up working out in the end for TNA. I'm going to give this week an 8 out of 10 for me. I thought all the matches themselves, even the 2-on-1, which was not necessarily my favorite of the episode, I still really enjoyed every single match we had. Again, Hot Sauce versus Josh is my match of the night just because that was given time. Josh is fantastic in this current generation of wrestlers, and he definitely is the face for TNA, but Hot Sauce proved that he is also really good from his generation of wrestlers. So that is the generation versus generation class TNA should have promoted, because that one was more generational since they are for different things. Again, the promos were hit and miss for me, but overall, I think this was a strong episode, and I really, really enjoyed it. Of course, I'm also biased too. I love seeing Steph Lander be our new number one contender, which I'm really excited for her and Jordynne Grace to go at it because both of them are similar powerhouses. So I'm just like, give me a big Haas women's match. Let's go. Cannot wait till Rebellion. But 8 out of 10 for me this week.
So I think with some of the other wrestling shows this week, this one had a little extra shine on it for me because this had some big event level matches across the board. Some fun stuff set up for next week, some really good matches. And it's continuing to build to Rebellion with some really top quality possibilities left for some of the matches we don't yet have like laid out, you know, like the Knockouts tag team matches and some of the other matches that we're probably going to get. So I actually give it a 9 out of 10 this week. And it was, you know, like some of our other shows were very promo heavy and it was very obvious. It wasn't until we sat down and started talking about it that I realized how many promos were in this. And I feel like it's because the action that was around the promos and the way a lot of the promos were delivered, things just kept going and rolling. And each time a promo happened and I had to like go back to wrestling, it like there was just so much going on that I didn't even think about how many promos we had just seen between this match and the last. So it was a really good night of wrestling.
Once again, just like last week, TNA has picked us up from everything else that we watched this week. The three shows that we reviewed together, Andrew, obviously both of us can agree this is probably the best of the three that we saw that week. And we still have like 5 weeks until Rebellion. So if it's good right now, I can't even imagine how the rest of the weeks are going to go. So that brings us to the end of TNA. I was going to wait until our Monday Night Raw review to drop this news, but I'm going to do it now. Because by the time this video goes uploaded, it will be going live on a Sunday. So literally the beginning of WrestleMania week. So I'm going to change the rules and I'm going to allow TNA to be the show that breaks this news. So if you had stayed this long for our review, thank you for tuning in. I already did all the housekeeping before. We'll do our outro in a sec, but I want to let everyone know that TNA is going to be going dark next week, which means we are not going to have a regular scheduled review. You might be wondering why. So let me give you a preview of what we're calling like what sports teams do, high school, college, and professionals. We are entering the WrestleMania Mania Hell Week. Not that it's going to be hell per se, that we're not going to enjoy ourselves, but we got a lot going on. So here's what you can expect this upcoming week for the BC WrestlePod heading into WrestleMania weekend. So obviously TNA is up right now. It is uploaded Sunday morning or afternoon or evening, wherever you're watching this from. Starting on Tuesday, this is the schedule that's going to follow. On Tuesday and Wednesday, so whenever you're watching this, there this week we will have a Monday Night Raw review, which is the go-home Raw before WrestleMania. We will have the go-home show for NXT before Stand and Deliver, so you will see me, Andrew, and hopefully Will be covering that. And then the last regular program to review will be AEW Dynamite, as we have a couple of weeks until Dynasty, so the Just Three Gents boys will be covering that. Then after that, the whole entire rest of the regular review schedule is going dark. So there is no Ring of Honor, regular Ring of Honor review, no TNA review, no Rampage, no SmackDown, and no Collision reviews. Because starting on Friday, oh my gosh, Andrew, strap in, because this is going to be a lot of information for everybody to listen to, including us, because I don't know why we booked ourselves this way, but we did. So starting on Friday, April 5th, here is what you are going to expect. Friday, April 5th, the Ring of Honor boys will be recording and reacting to this Ring of Honor Super Card of Honor pay-per-view. So we will be talking a little bit about the go-home show for Ring of Honor. We will be giving our predictions, and we will be watching Super Card of Honor together. You can expect to see that reaction video up the following day. So after that's done, I'm going to edit that thing, and we're going to upload it for you guys to watch on Saturday. Then on Saturday morning, the NXT team, which is myself, Andrew, and Will, being joined by Minnie and the Professor, the five of us will be live watching NXT Stand Deliver in the morning. So once that's done and over with, you can also expect that to go up in the following day. And then you can catch me and Minnie live watching night one of WrestleMania that same day. So it's going to be a jam-packed weekend. On Sunday, you can see JBL, Jesse, Professor, and Minnie watching night two of WrestleMania. And then in the morning, however, the NXT team will be reviewing Stand and Deliver. So we'll be watching it Saturday morning, reviewing Sunday morning, and then a bunch of us are watching night two WrestleMania. It's going to be crazy. On Monday, April 8th, is night one review live stream of WrestleMania. And then Tuesday, April 9th, is the live stream review of WrestleMania night two. Andrew, I don't know what we did. So much wrestling. So it's going to be jam-packed, so therefore that is why most of the reviews are going dark next this upcoming week. But expect a lot of WrestleMania, Super Card of Honor, Stand and Deliver content, because we're going to give it to you, and it's going to be crazy, but it is the ultimate wrestling weekend. The ultimate wrestling weekend in the wrestling world is here, and we are here to cover most of it. And then, once we are finished with that, after we're all done with WrestleMania weekend, literally a week later, you will see TNA Rebellion review and you will see AEW's Dynasty review coming out a week after all that is said and done. So we are busy this April, but we are super excited.
Yes.
Okay. Now that I've gotten all that out of the way, if you want a more condensed version of it, check our social medias, because you're going to want to stay posted on, okay, so who's doing what and when are these reviews? We got you. Promise. It's going to be a fantastic time. But me and Andrew are going to get up on out of here. So thank you for tuning in to another Takedown Troop review. For myself and Andrew, as well as our third co-host, Will, and the rest of the BC WrestlePod boys, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, stay iconic. More importantly, you deserve to finish your story. We will see you for all the shenanigans going down WrestleMania weekend. But until then, Tata for now. Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.